Thank you. Any introduction of guests? Do we have any guests? Mr. Chairman, we should introduce you. We're glad to have you with us today. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Approval of participation by electronic means.
We're not going to do any
Not
action, so it
necessary.
doesn't matter.
Any modifications to the agenda?
Maybe Allison wants to talk about the second draft.
Yeah, updated draft.
We'll do that or wait till we get into the report.
I will wait.
Okay. Let's move on to public comment. Have you received it?
We did not receive that.
Thank you. Okay, approval of the minutes from the November 2nd meeting.
We can't take that action.
That's right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Refer that until we have a quorum. Okay, Allison, let's go on with the report. As you may have heard, we don't have a quorum, so we're not going to be able to take official action, but we can receive the report, and hopefully we'll be able to approve it by the time you conclude. But anyway, thank you very much for joining us today, for all the hard work you've done, and I look forward to hearing what you have.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, luckily, these are great results for an audit. So the best kind of reports that I like to give. And I thank you all for allowing me to attend your meeting via Zoom. So we did, I know, send out the updated draft this morning. So when I go over the report, I'll go over the highlighted changes. And I apologize that that was sent out so late. I was actually on vacation last week, and some timing there of when those changes happened and when I could approve them and everything. So, but again, a great report. The page one of the report is the audit opinion. We've given an unmodified opinion. That's the highest level of assurance that we can give on a set of audited financial statements. So a good, clean opinion. We also conducted a single audit again this year because of the federal grant funds. So you'll see additional paragraphs here on page three. We've got the required supplementary information, which is information that's always included with your financial statements, and those are required by governmental accounting standards, which include the management's discussion and analysis, and all of the various pension schedules, which I'm sure you guys have read thoroughly. And then the supplementary information paragraph there is referring to the single audit schedules and our opinion related to those schedules, and that those schedules are also stated fairly. On page five is management's discussion and analysis. Again, that's a requirement of GASB, governmental accounting standards, and this is written by management. We go through this MD&A and compare the numbers and information with the information that we received during the audit, as well as the audited financial statements. But that's really the extent of our procedures on the management's discussion and analysis. I won't go over that in detail because it's really just a narrative format of the financial statements themselves and giving financial highlights throughout the year. But I will pause if management wants to add any comments regarding that. I'm seeing Michael shake his head.
He stands for itself. That's good.
Okay. All right. So page nine is the statements of net position. And a trend here is the federal grant and the NFIL construction. So you'll see accounts receivable decreased from the prior year, and that's just due to the receipt of grant funds during the year and just timing of what was due as of September 30th. On the notes receivable related party, that's the note receivable with IPTLH, and that was reduced this year just due to the payment of the ARPA funds from IPTLH. They received those, so we're able to remit those to the authority. On the lease receivable, you'll continue to see that decrease as lease terms begin to shorten and begin to expire. So really that's the decrease there, and that's a calculation that is done each year as far as what leases are in effect at the end of the year. And then the construction in progress, obviously the increase there from 5.2 million to 20.5 million is the NFIL construction. And sticking with that trend, the accounts payable decreased there from approximately 1.5 million to 474 million, just less bills due at the end of the year, just due to the construction activity and what was taking place. And then on the non-current liabilities, the line of credit for 2.7 million with the FSU Research Foundation that was drawn on this year. So that also includes some interest there. And that was, again, due to the NFIL construction. Overall, ending the year with net position of a little over 24 million compared to the prior year of approximately 11.6 million. Most of that, again, is in fixed assets with the buildings and the construction in progress. So the 20.8 million there, the net investment in capital assets. You do also have a restricted portion there of 367,000, and that is due to the MOU for the Danfoss agreement. And there's one more, I believe, one more payment due on that this year. So that's included in that restricted fund. And we disclosed that in the notes to the financial statements. On page 10, you'll see the statements of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position or your income statements. And total operating revenues increased from 5.4 million to 13.9 million. Obviously, the grants increased for the NFIL construction. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it's a continuing theme throughout the statements. So increase there from 4.6 to 13.1. Also, the common area management fees, you'll see an increase there from 64,000 to 81,000. And that was due to an increase to the allocated acreage to Danfoss. So that was recalculated this year. So usually you only see slight increases just due to expenses, but that was more than a slight increase this year just due to that reallocation of those acres to Danfoss. On the operating expense side, the salaries and employee benefits increased this year from 426,000 to 583. Two main reasons, the GASB 68, which is the pension liability, and that is an actuarially determined liability that is the actuary study is completed by the state. We receive the information, or the authority receives the information, relays that information to us. So there was an increase there just due to the number of employees and how the actuary completes that calculation each year. So that contributed to that increase, as well as the addition of a business manager this year. So that salaries and benefits are in that line item. The other two are fairly consistent with the prior year. Overall operating income of almost 12.4 million compared to 4 million in the prior year, mainly due to the NFIL grant. Total non-operating revenues of 35,000 compared to 26,000. You will see that interest expense there for the first time, or for the first time in a while. I have seen that before on these statements, but the first time there for the FSU Research Foundation line of credit. And again, ending your year at a little over 24 million in net position. Your statements of cash flows is the following page, just really taking your income statement, converting it to a cash basis, showing the sources and uses of cash. And again, you'll see the trend there, the NFIL construction. Page 12 begins your notes to the financial statements. Most of note one has remained consistent with the prior year. No new adoption of accounting policies or pronouncements this year. Then note two, disclosing the ground lease. And then note three, which is extremely long, dealing with your pension liability, which I'm sure you guys have all read cover to cover. And that goes on through page 27. So beginning on page 28, we pick up again with non-pension related disclosures. Commitments and contingencies, these have been updated for current year information. The last paragraph there discussing the OEV MOU, just as I discussed on the statement of net position regarding the restricted net position there, and that there was still another payment due on that MOU for the Danfoss project. On page 29, we have a new disclosure there in the middle. Well, not a new disclosure, but an addition to that disclosure regarding the line of credit with the FSU Research Foundation of $2.7 million. And then this is one of the items that was added to the draft that was issued this morning. Here we have a paragraph discussing the non-binding MOU with FAMU and FSU. That the authority entered into in December 2023 that would essentially transfer all remaining leasehold interests and buildings to FAMU and or FSU if that MOU is executed. So obviously, if that MOU is executed, your financial statements will look very different. So that disclosure was added there. Page 30, we discuss the operating leases and all of the terms there. On the bottom of page 31, that was also another addition here because that table is disclosing minimum future rentals. And obviously, if the MOU is executed with FAMU and FSU, those lease terms and lease rentals will go to FSU and FAMU. Instead of the authority. So there was an added disclosure that under that MOU, if it was executed, that schedule could obviously change. On page 32, we disclose the capital assets there. Obviously, the biggest change there would be in the construction in progress for the NFIL. Note seven, the designated net position, you did have designated net position of $470,000 that was to be used for capital projects that was used for that construction. So there were no designated net position at the end of this year. And then note nine, we disclose related parties, which is the IPTLH and the note receivable, which there is no balance for the note receivable this year, and then also the discussion of the payment of the ARPA funds from IPTLH this year. We also had an additional disclosure of related parties that during the year, the authority entered into a marketing services agreement with a tenant, and total expenses for that agreement were $16,500. We had a prior period adjustment last year. It's still there and present on your comparative financial statements. So we still have that disclosure discussing that prior period adjustment, and that was for the implementation of the leases. And then beginning on page 34 and 35, we have additional, 34 through 37, actually, additional schedules that are required by governmental accounting standards for all of the pension liabilities there. And this year we finally have 10 years worth of data. So we have 10 years, which is what they want you to have. So we will start dropping the oldest year off of those schedules next year. But that data is there. And that again is derived from all the actuarial reports issued to the state of Florida, and that is just the authority's portion of that liability. And in accordance with government auditing standards, we issued the report on internal control over financial reporting and other matters. I am happy to report that we had no items to note there, so no instances of noncompliance or internal control matters that needed to be disclosed or brought to the committee's attention. And then we have, in accordance with the Single Audit Act, the report on compliance for the major federal program and internal control over compliance for that major federal program. And again, I'm happy to report that we had no instances of noncompliance. And so that, again, is a good, clean report. On page 43 is your schedule of expenditures of federal awards. This year, your expenditures were $9,080,000, and then various disclosures of that schedule. Page 44, schedule of findings and question costs. I am happy to report no findings and question costs, and no items to note here, so no material weaknesses. We disclosed that you had one major program, which was audited, which is your only federal program, and no findings and question costs there. And then, in accordance with the rules of the Auditor General and Florida statutes, we issue an attestation report on compliance with local government investment policies. You are in compliance with local government investment policies, so no items to note there, a clean attestation report. And then again, in accordance with the rules of the Auditor General, we issue a management letter. And the management letter has various requirements that we are required to report on. So we have no prior audit findings. We have additional special district information on page 48 that is required to be disclosed in this letter. That was a new requirement, I believe, last year or the year before. So there are a couple of items there that are disclosed. And but no items to report, no additional matters discussed in that management letter. So everything is just purely disclosures and required information from the Auditor General. That was a lot, even though it was a very clean report and no findings. So happy to pause here and take any questions before I go over some of our required communications.
Thank you very much. Great report. Any questions from the board? No. Let me just let the record show that Dr. Bradley Stroud has joined us, so we do have a quorum now. And let's move on back and let you finish up your report with those with the last notations.
All right, I appreciate that. So we have some required communications with the audit committee. And just disclosing that we've performed our audit in accordance with government auditing standards. We've met with this committee and management discussed various matters regarding our independence, our two-way communication, any risks that were identified during our audit that were not planned. We didn't identify any other risks during our audit process. And there were no new accounting standards, as I stated before, that had to be adopted, no changes in significant accounting policies, nor any significant or unusual transactions. There are certain accounting estimates that are part of your financial statements. I've touched on all of those throughout the presentation, but the ones that are considered to be significant are those dealing with the pension liabilities, the discount rate that is used to calculate the net present value of future lease payments, amortization of certain capitalized fees, and then useful lives used to calculate the depreciation on capital assets. We audit all of those during our audit process, and they were all supported by actuarial studies and other documentation. So we had no issues there with any of those estimates. We had a couple of adjustments during our audit process, mainly dealing with GASB 68, just due to the timing of the receipt of that information. From when we complete most of the audit fieldwork, that information is not received by the authority until usually late January. So that was an adjustment for the financial statements. There were no uncorrected misstatements. We didn't encounter any disagreements with management. We're not aware that management had any consultations with any other accountants regarding accounting or auditing matters. There were no significant issues discussed with management, nor any significant difficulties. Our independence is a process that we go through as a firm, and I'm required to tell you that process. So each year, our employees are given a complete listing of all of our clients and have to disclose any potential independence impairments. If there are any, those would be elevated to our director of quality control. There are no issues that have been disclosed with anything for the authority. And then any employee that starts after the beginning of the year is also given that listing of clients. So we are required to disclose all of those independence matters if there were any. And then, as I stated before, no issues in internal control. And once we issue all these reports and final, we get a letter from management signing it, saying they've given us everything we have asked for during the audit process and making certain representations regarding account balances. And that will be issued also with our required communications report. So no items to note. Again, these are great reports to give. I love giving the clean audit reports and no items of discussion.
Thank you again. We appreciate your efforts. We really are also very appreciative of the unmodified support that you provide us in the review. Any questions from the board?
I just want to say thank you to staff, because it's staff who makes all this stuff go and happen. So thank you.
As the treasurer, I'm very pleased with the report. I want to make a particular comment about our staff and about the associates that we use to assist our staff. I think this is a representation of the quality of work they do, and I appreciate their attention to detail.
Thank you, Dave. I need it, I think. Everybody here is very grateful for all that you have done. Thank you so much. Peggy as well. Okay, at this point, I accept a motion to receive the report and to approve it.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Unanimously passed. Thank you very much. Thanks to Thomas Howell Ferguson for a fine job, and we look forward to finalizing the report once we receive it. I want to go back now that we have a quorum and get approval for the minutes of the November 2nd meeting. Is there any additions or changes to those minutes? Hearing none, those minutes stand approved as submitted. Any further business to come before the audit committee? Hearing none. Thank you, everybody. Meeting adjourned.